Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. In the spotlight on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly with Timothy Goh. Now, the surprise breakthrough of the COP26 summit was the world's two largest emitters of planet-warming greenhouse gases overall, the United States and China pledging to work together to combat climate change in this decade.
Well, there were, of course, steps agreed on a range of issues, including methane emission, the transition to clean energy and decarbonization. Plus, a few days on from the end of the climate summit, is it being seen as a success?
Well, as we were saying yesterday, Tim, good cop, bad cop.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, joining us on the line now to share her analysis on the topic is Alex Scott, climate diplomacy lead at E3G, an independent climate change think tank. Alex, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me along.
Great to have you with us. So, Alex, you were actually in Glasgow for COP26. Can you share with us what it was like on the ground there?
It was a bit of a roller coaster of momentum, to be honest. It started with a very high octane leaders level segment. Leaders were injecting their kind of rhetoric for ambition into the summit. And then there, as it was the first meeting of ministers and leaders in person in 2 years, it was really the place where everybody wanted to profile their new initiative. So it was high octane for a lot of it. When we got down to the negotiators getting to the actual final decisions, the tempo dropped down, and then high drama at the end for those who were watching the final closing plenary.
Alex, at the beginning of COP26, we, of course, saw President Joe Biden calling out China's President Xi Jinping for not attending. How much of a surprise was this agreement for you?
It was definitely a surprise. They had been meeting regularly throughout the year, so there was the hint that there could be some kind of joint statement brewing. But the tensions that were apparent over the G20 and at the start of the conference and the way they were talking about what each other was bringing to COP26 didn't suggest that this was really on the cards.
And speaking of roller coaster rides, so from, as Tim mentioned at the start, President Joe Biden calling out Xi Jinping, and then the U.S. and China, the world's two biggest CO2 emitters, now looking to work together. How significant is this?
It is significant. It was a significant moment in the COP. It was particularly useful for getting the geopolitical rivalry between the two out of the way, which made the political space open up for getting a higher ambition agreement. But it wasn't as significant as it could have been, or as the U.S.-China cooperation ahead of the Paris talks was. It didn't really move the ambition needle up a lot more.
We're speaking to Alex Scott, climate diplomacy lead at E3G. Alex, the pledge is a little short on detail, though. What are some of the key elements of the deal that you know about?
So it mostly, as you say, is short on detail. It reiterates a lot of the language that had been agreed through the G20 processes this year on how to talk about coal, how to talk about the goal of keeping warming below 1.5 degrees. The most significant change in signal from this declaration was really how the two major powers talked about needing a lot more action in the 2020s and committing to ramp up their own action in the 2020s. And the big outcome from it is they've launched now a working group which creates space for ongoing cooperation between these two major powers on exactly that, on ramping up climate action in this critical decade.
Alex, what has been the general reaction, though, from politicians, scientists and activists? Because we've seen a bit of a mixed review card when it comes to the outcome of COP26, haven't we?
On the outcome of COP26 as a whole, definitely. I think it's clear that the pledges from countries on how they're going to reduce their emissions and transition their economies aren't yet putting us on a pathway to the safest level of global warming, 1.5 degrees. But what we have had out of the summit is a political lifeline, we're describing it as, whereby countries have said that they will come back with more ambition next year. That wasn't the same as the language from the U.S.-China joint declaration, so it remains to be seen exactly how the U.S. and China pick up from what was agreed that was slightly higher ambition in that final COP decision.
So, Alex, what do you think will be the next step then to take for concrete action, especially after the meeting between the two big superpowers?
Yeah, so I think there is this commitment for countries to raise their 2030 emissions reduction pledges, but there was also a lot of new coalitions swarming together at the COP around transitions in key sectors. So, for example, there were almost 34 countries, I think, pledging to end overseas investment in fossil fuel projects. And that's taken $24 billion annually out of investment in oil and gas projects overseas. So that's one of the key areas where countries can come good on the pledges that they made at the conference and add more to their coalitions around some of these key sectoral transformations, including the likes of China and the US.
So the real work starts now, doesn't it, Alex?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Alex, for taking the time to speak with us today. We've been speaking with Alex Scott, Climate Diplomacy Lead at E3G. You're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.